Right now it is time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur joins us on a Monday morning, and we talk food. That's right. And Arthur, as we get started this morning, I want to tell you I did something yesterday, and it was amazing. This is the second time this year that Housatonic Valley Regional High School, the FFA, and the high school have gotten together, and they provided free food that the USDA supplies to states to people, anybody who needed it. There was no income level.
Oh, wow.
So I went to pick up some for a friend of mine who only has a bicycle, okay? And he lives alone. And so I went, and Arthur, I'm telling you, there was a 50-50, half and half. There was a gallon of milk. There was, remember Scrapple?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't even remember.
There was Scrapple?
Yes. I actually like Scrapple.
There was hot dogs. There was fresh vegetables. There was yogurt.
Where does this food come from?
The USDA, I guess, stores it.
I know, but
they store it, and then when there's too much, they then distribute it. And
now, I don't know if it was USDA or another government agency that used to distribute cheese.
Well, it must have been because there was a big
block
of
cheese. That was a prime food. I don't know what the other foods were, but I do know that cheese was a big thing.
Well, there wasn't,
which is from whence we get macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, there was a big chunk of cheese in there as well. So I bet you see.
Yeah, well, because you know dairy farmers need some help as well.
Yeah, but I was surprised to see
the
Scrapple.
Wow, that's very nice.
Yeah, it was nice.
So they got cheese and I'm assuming a processed cheese.
It was a big block of American cheese, so I have no idea.
Yeah, American cheese. Yeah, it's a processed cheese. Yeah.
But it was a nice variety, and it was enough to give somebody some real nice food for a week or so. It was really nice.
Oh yeah, how very nice, very nice. Were there a lot of people waiting for it?
Well, I got there late, and there was probably a line of about 15, 20 cars. Yeah, they gave away.
That's a lot.
I think they gave away 170 to 200 boxes of this.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, so, a lot of needy people.
But I just hadn't seen Scrapple in a long time. So,
No, I haven't seen. Well, I do see Scrapple. Okay, I haven't eaten Scrapple in a long time. But my nephew lives just outside Philly, so in fact, his Whole Foods is on the city line pretty much. And it's very funny because I just heard somebody on TV, a political commentator, referred to the Whole Foods suburbs. So Brian and Michelle live in a Whole Foods suburb. I can't wait to tell him that. So, but yeah, they sell because they're out of Philly, and and Scrapple is a real Pennsylvania thing. They sell Scrapple. I see it in the case all the time.
All right. Well,
I'm going to buy it sometime. You know, it's one of those things like Spam.
Yeah,
that
right.
People cringe at. But I, you know, Spam is running some very, very enticing commercials on TV. So I went out and bought Spam. That and the fact that this Chinese woman in the aisles of the supermarket advised me to use Spam in my fried rice if I wanted to taste really authentic. Plus the fact that Bob grew up on Spam because he grew up in Honolulu and Hawaii during the war. He grew up at the end of the war, but still, for a long time, they didn't get fresh meat and blah, blah, blah. And Spam became a canned ham or a canned ham product. I don't even know what the official name of it is, a pork product. Anyway, so he has fond memories of Spam, and did you know that they have Spam sushi in Hawaii?
Yeah, I do. Nothing amazes
anyway,
me.
But I didn't want to talk about Spam today, but I love the that you did that.
Yeah. So let's go above.
I'm eating on this keto diet, so-called keto diet, because it supposedly, I don't know, I haven't checked this part, sends your body into a metabolic phase called ketosis, which burns fat. But anyway, the diet part is you get to eat a lot of protein and way even more fat. So mayonnaise, butter, olive oil, you sort of name it, you can have it. Good oils, I should say. And actually, I'm doing a little investigation on coconut oil because I hear things about it. Anyway, but I haven't cooked with coconut oil yet. And in fact, the things that I cook, I'm not sure I want the flavor of coconut, if coconut oil does indeed give a flavor of coconut. With Jill's inspiration, or should I say nudging, I'm so-called back where I belong, meaning I'm cooking Southern Italian, or Italian at any rate, even without pasta, even without potatoes, even without bread. But I am cooking a lot of vegetables because I can't live without vegetables. Now, if you are on a really strict, well, I am on a very strict keto diet in that I keep my net carbohydrate count, and I do count them. I know more or less at this point. I don't have to actually count which vegetables, et cetera, are low carb. And you can cook them. I mean, then there's a real variety. But the rule is, I keep my carbs to about 50 grams a day. That's very low. I could probably even have a little more. And maybe some days I do because I have two helpings of watermelon instead of one. Another five carbs. Anyway, back to the vegetables. The rule is above ground vegetables. Now, unfortunately, as soon as the cold weather comes, the first thing most of us think about is below-ground vegetables, root vegetables, of course, potatoes, mainstay of winter. But I have to think only above-ground. And featured this week is cabbage. I can do a lot of things with cabbage these days. I've always. In fact, I'm now mining my own recipes to see what I'm coming up with for cabbage, because cabbage is practically no carbs. You don't have to count it even. And hence, we eat a lot of coleslaw. I'll get to that in a minute. And I do love cooking cabbage and steaming it in butter from all degrees to 15, 20 minutes until it's well wilted with a knob of butter to cooked for an hour, tossing until it's in a lot of butter, until it's well caramelized. But coleslaw, of course. By the way, in the coleslaw department, I've been buying coleslaw at different markets that sell it around here, none of which use any sugar in their dressing. And I've been assured, and it's not on the label, and the one that has to label it, and the other, my butcher, does not have to label it because he makes it himself. So, and he assures me he doesn't put any sugar in it. However, coleslaw can be sweet because cabbage can be sweet. Hence, the cabbage I made the other day was super sweet. And it was not meant to be super sweet. It was supposed to be sour because it's sort of the Italian version of sauerkraut. It's called Krauti, C-R-A-U-T-I, Krauti, but it's not fermented. Real sauerkraut has a lactic fermentation. You know, you stomp down the fresh cabbage with salt, and you let it stand a few days, and you get a fermentation. Same as, by the way, my grandfather's pickles. Except they weren't stomped down. Anyway, Krauti, first time I had Krauti, I'm going to have to ask Cecilia because she made it, has to be at least 10 years ago, maybe more. And it was on the occasion of us cooking a lot of pork. I'm thinking we had a party and they had just slaughtered a pig, so it was probably January or February. And she made this dish, this cabbage dish. And I said, what do you call it? She says, Krauti. So I don't know. I took down the recipe. I loved it so much. I asked her for the recipe. She hand-wrote the recipe for me. It is unquestionably in my file somewhere. For some reason, I never input it into the computer, but I did make it several times back home in New York. And it came to me the other day, as I said, I'm mining my own recipes for interesting above-ground vegetable recipes. And I said, you know, for the hell of it, let me see if I can find anything like Krauti on the Internet. And sure enough, I found what I believe is the exact recipe that Cecilia gave me years ago. And it's there are a number of variations on Krauti, if you look this up online. But the one that I remember from Cecilia, it was with pancetta. And there it was, Krauti con pancetta, Krauti with pancetta. And so here is my version of this really good recipe, which, by the way, you can cook the way I'm going to tell you, but it's really good reheated. In fact, you might want to make it one day to eat it the next. On the other hand, it's good when it's freshly made as well, and it makes enough, this recipe, that you'll probably, unless you have a crowd to feed. You know, this feeds at least six. Oh, I should say it makes at least six portions. So this is for a two-pound head of cabbage, a normal flat leaf, so to speak, green cabbage, not the Savoy cabbage. Not that you can't do this with Savoy, but you could. So approximately a two-pound cabbage. Take off any of the tough outer, very green leaves, and shred the rest of it. Here's how I do that. I cut the cabbage in half through the root end. I then cut that in half each, so I have four wedges now. And that makes it very easy to cut out the hard core, which you will do. And then each one of these wedges, you shred as thinly as possible. I mean, you know, by hand. If you want to put it on a machine, you can, but I never do. I like actually doing this. Now, this is interesting. The recipe that I found on the Internet, by the way, the recipe is in Italian. Got to add that. The recipe I found on the Internet has you soaking the cabbage in cold water for a half an hour before you cook it. Now, this is a method that kashrut-observing Jews use to cleanse vegetables that might have an unseen insect embedded between the leaves. This is, of course, if this is grown in an open field, as things were, and, you know, anyway, and not in hermetic situations, as our vegetables often are grown. In any case, that was the instruction in the recipe, and I laugh at this only because my late friend Giuliano Bujali, famous Florentine cooking teacher and cookbook writer, had a cooking school that was extremely popular, passed away maybe 2 years ago. Anyway, Giuliano always soaked his vegetables before cooking them, and he used to tease his mother, who was very Catholic, that maybe they were really Jews from way back when, because his mother, by the way, did not cook. Giuliano said, my mother, he dedicated his first book to his mother, who's a terrible cook, but the best at everything else, which I thought was really sweet. Anyway, back to soaking vegetables. I did not soak the cabbage, but I did put it in a colander and rinse it off very well, tossing it around with lots of spray of cold water, and then I let it drain. I don't want a lot of water in the pot, but I do want the water clinging to the cabbage. So there's your prepped cabbage. Now, this is cooked first a couple tablespoons of olive oil in a big pot. Saute a medium onion that you've... I slice my onion. If you want to dice the onion, you can. And saute that until it's tender. That's about 5 minutes. And then add anywhere from 4 to 6, for this is a 2-pound head of cabbage, 4 to 6 ounces of pancetta. May I say, I keep pancetta in the house. If it's easy to buy these days, and it will keep for quite a while. Remember, it's a preserved meat. But don't buy too much that you're not going to use it, and then it'll go rancid eventually. Anyway, I use it a lot, especially now that I'm using vegetables as a vehicle for fat, which is a ketosis thing. Anyway, sauté the onion, add the pancetta, so continue to sauté for another 3 or 4 minutes until the pancetta renders some of its fat, and then add the washed cabbage. Now, what I do is I add it little by little, so that you know, I get to mix it thoroughly. If you add all the cabbage at once and all the pancetta and onion is on the bottom of the pot, it really is not so easy to bring it into the middle and the top. So I put in, let's say, a third of the cabbage. I toss it around with what's on the with the onion and pancetta. I add another third, do the same, blah, blah. Then cover the pot and put it over fairly low heat. Depends on your stove. But you don't want to burn this, and you want it to steam. So cover the pot, and the cabbage is going to take at least 40 minutes to get as tender as you want it to be. In fact, could be more than 40 minutes. And as I said early on, this is something that reheats really well. You can cook it a little longer if you want, and then or not, and then cook it more when you reheat it. I forgot maybe the most important ingredient. 3 tablespoons of vinegar. Add that with the cabbage. Once you've tossed in all the cabbage, pour on 3 tablespoons of... I use apple cider vinegar. I bought some really wonderful Italian apple cider vinegar recently. And I do like the... I'm not putting apples in. High carb. But apple cider vinegar does give the krauti a tiny perfume of apples. So that's it. By the way, that is wonderful with any kind of pork. I've been buying really good bratwurst. I love it. It's an easy dinner. And after I've made the krauti, of course, you can reheat up some krauti and have it with bratwurst. And any kind of pork thing, or even, you know, roast chicken. I'm not so sure I want to eat this with beef, but with roast chicken, for sure. So that's my number one above-ground vegetable, cabbage, with which, you know, I'm sure there are. I have to look on my shelf to see if there's a cabbage cookbook. I know I could write a cabbage cookbook. And then there's fennel. Now, I've mentioned fennel a bunch of times recently, so I'm not going to go into any particular recipes. I think if we listen back to previous programs on the podcast, you'll get several over the last few weeks. But the one that I have not mentioned, I know, and I do love this one, is raw fennel salad. All the others were cooked fennel. And for raw fennel salad, you want to shave the fennel as thinly as possible, and you do not want to use that hard core. So cut the fennel into 4 wedges, cut out the core, shave the fennel. If you have a mandolin, it would be great. I guess there are food processors with slicing blades, some people like, and shave it as thin as you can and toss it with some salt and lemon juice. And let it stand just with the salt and the lemon juice, for, I don't know, an hour or so. This does, I think, tenderize, besides flavor, it also tenderizes the fennel a little bit. And to that, I add some of my best olive oil. So now I have a salad dressed with lemon and oil, salt, and some grindings of pepper. And then every portion, or you could do this, you know, in a platter, shave Parmesan cheese over it. Not great. Shave, like with a vegetable peeler. So.
So you get the anyway. So you get the long strand, the long, fairly thick strands, right? When you shave it.
Yes, yeah. It will. Yes, it'll come out in strands. You mean the cheese or the fennel? The cheese. The word in Italian, translated into English, is scales. You say scales of cheese, meaning these thin slices of, usually it's a softer grating cheese. Could be pecorino too. I don't like pecorino on fennel especially, but in other cases for sure. And in this case, Parmigiano is good. By the way, I don't know if I have time, but my third above-ground vegetable that I'm still relying on, even though it's deep fall already, is red peppers, which are relatively low-carb, of course. By the way, all these vegetables are extremely good for you. Go look it up. You'll see. Cabbage, fennel, very good for you, and delicious, and very high fiber besides the other stuff. But red peppers, for some reason, I have still been able to buy very good red peppers. I never buy a Holland pepper in the winter. They're tasteless. Sometimes they're even bitter. In the winter, if I see peppers from Mexico and they're not crazy price, I buy them and I make roasted peppers. So that's what I'm doing. The peppers that I've been buying, however, are grown in the USA. I'm not sure where, but they've been very, very good. And so I roasted four of them the other day, and I made chicken with roasted peppers, Roman style, and it's like a cacciatore, except that it's with peppers instead of other stuff. And it's very easy, but do I have time to give it?
Yes, absolutely. We've got about
We we like chicken thighs. If you want instructions for cooking chicken breasts, I don't know. I don't know the timing for chicken breasts. I only know the timing for chicken thighs and sometimes a few drumsticks. So for chicken thighs, I brown in a couple tablespoons of olive oil four chicken thighs. You could easily double this recipe. You could easily make six chicken thighs. You'd be the judge of the rest of the ingredients. Four chicken thighs. And I do this frequently for various dishes, so I know that it takes 8 minutes. At the proper heat underneath the pan, which is not super hot, but pretty hot. It takes 8 minutes, and I do like 5 minutes with the skin side down, and then I turn them over for another 2 minutes, and then a final 1 minute again on the top. Well, it could take 9 minutes, could take 7 minutes, but you want a light brown on the chicken skin side. That's mainly what you're after. Then turn the chicken by the way, this is optional, but since I always keep pancetta in the house, I with my couple tablespoons of olive oil, I also threw in about an ounce of pancetta diced into tiny cubes. It's the size. If you look in your supermarket, Citerio, I think there are other brands now too, make diced pancetta, and you don't even have to do it yourself. And they're usually 4 ounce packages, so a quarter of a package, and 2 tablespoons of oil, and let the pancetta cook a couple minutes in the oil before adding the chicken thighs. And believe me, the pancetta won't burn. If you're at the right temperature, by the end of this, the pancetta will be browned but not burned. And the chicken thighs will be lightly browned and certainly not burned. And then add about a quarter. It depends on the wine. I happen to have a nice white wine on the counter here. It was open. I used a third of a cup. But if you're using vermouth, which I would if I didn't have an open bottle of wine, I would use a quarter of a cup. or if all you have is a quarter of a cup of wine, or a third of a cup of wine, and let the wine cook down with one clove of garlic. I took a large clove of garlic, and I crushed it ever so slightly with the heel of my hand, and I threw that in the pot with the white wine, and you let the wine simmer with the garlic and the chicken all in there until the wine is almost evaporated, not altogether, but mostly evaporated. And then you add 1.5 cups of tomatoes. Now, I love to have on hand small cans of plum tomatoes. They have become, I think, impossible to buy. Even my wholesaler tells me he can't get them right now. So I don't know what happened over the summer, but the only canned tomatoes, good canned tomatoes, I can get them in 28-ounce cans. So basically you're looking for a half of a 28-ounce can, and that comes up to about 1.5 cups of tomato from the can, and I crush it. Or if you use crushed tomatoes, 1.5 cups of crushed tomatoes. And anyway, add that to the pan. Now, I did not have rosemary in the house, so... And now, today, when I go out, I'm buying myself some rosemary. Because even once it's dried in my kitchen here, it's still very useful. But I didn't have any, so I used oregano. Instead of a sprig of rosemary, I put in a big pinch of my very good Sicilian oregano. And stirred that around, salt and pepper, and black pepper, and let it simmer. The chicken is now simmering in tomatoes with all those other seasonings for about 1/2 hour. After 25 minutes, I added 2 roasted peppers. Now, I had, early in the morning, stuck these peppers in the oven. This is the easiest possible way. I put the oven, set the oven to 450, preheat to 450, put the peppers directly on the rack of my oven, and they usually take minimum 20 minutes. In this case, 2 of them, and I knew that they were done because I went to pick them up with a tong, and they were tender. So I threw those into a pot with a cover. And then I close the oven, let another 5 minutes or so for the other 2 to get the same. By the way, while I had the door open, I turned the other 2. The outside should get charred and blistered, and then you put them in a covered pot, or in the old days we used to use a paper bag. Now they're all made with chemicals, so I don't trust them. And so I just put them in a covered pot on top of the stove, and once they're... that you can handle them, you can then peel them and seed them, and you've got these gorgeous, really gorgeous, roasted peppers. I cut those into strips. So for this chicken dish, after the chicken's cooked for 20 minutes or so, I throw in strips of 2 peppers and let that simmer a little longer, and that's it. Now, by the way, this is another dish that's very good reheated. So it's, in fact, for me, I think, you know, with some bread to mop up the juices. Did I miss bread? I did. Did I eat bread? I didn't. Did I miss? I don't know. You could have this with a... in this case, I just want bread. So I didn't eat pasta. There are other dishes I have made lately. I said, I'm sort of missing the pasta onto this. But no, in this case, just some bread would have been great.
All right.
And a green salad. You don't need much more than that because you have all the peppers in this. If you increase the number of thighs, let's say double the thighs, you don't have to double the peppers. Add 1 pepper. Add 1 more pepper. And, of course, this all depends on how big your peppers are.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Well...
anyway, I'm back. What's today? Today is mushrooms. I'm going to play with mushrooms today. And I have good broth in the freezer, so I'm figuring out what to do with that without adding a carbohydrate ingredient like pasta, potatoes, beans.
Yeah. Add some bok
choy. I do miss pizza.
Add some bok choy to it.
No, I don't want to go Asian.
Okay.
I'm really into this staying where I belong in the southern Italian, well, in the Italian vein. No, what I'm going to make is some form of stracciatella. You beat eggs and grated cheese together, and you add it to the simmering soup, and it becomes Italian egg drop soup. Mm-hmm. But you can add spinach to that, and it's really good with mm-hmm. spinach. So I think that's, in fact, what I'm going to do.
All right.
And also, I have a great recipe that I came across in my files for a very elaborate presentation of cabbage and sausage. But let me try doing this for the first time in 30 years before I give out a recipe.
All right.
Plus, it's beyond my time.
All right. Well, I want you to have a good week, and hopefully when we speak next week.
Yes, let's I don't know. Do we pray? Do we send out Biden vibes? What do we do?
We just vote. That's all. Make sure we vote.
No, I voted already. All right. I voted, and I mailed it in with plenty of time to be received.
All right.
There are big issues here in Brooklyn, however. A lot of storekeepers are very scared about what's going to happen either way.
Yeah.
And like you, I'm sure you've seen on the news, Macy's and Bloomingdale's are all boarded up. I live very close to the Barclays Center, and that's usually epicenter of protest these days.
Well, we'll see what happens.
So we'll see what happens.
All right. Arthur.
All right. Good luck.
I'll speak to you next week.
I hope so.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, this morning here on Robin Hood Radio.
Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467, and on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.